following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
So I've been working recently on my permanent residency paperwork, which is, you know, just a lot of fun. just a blast. But apparently, it's working. Like, even just doing the paperwork is working, because I was informed separately by Art and Shirley. So, you know, like, what a married couple, right? That they pointed out an A at the end of my sentence before. So I clearly am becoming Canadian. That seems to me like it should be good enough for the Canadian Border Services. Rose, can you put in a good word for me? Maybe just a little nudge. He says A at the end of his sentences, give him his permanent residency. If only it worked that way, but maybe not. Well, good morning again, folks, and welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I am so glad you are here worshiping with us this morning. He is risen. Alleluia. Amen. I spent time with a number of pastor friends this week and saw posts on Facebook and elsewhere that kind of referenced this interesting phenomenon, one that I think I even experienced a little bit this past week. It's called the Easter letdown. As pastors and as churches, we spend all of this time and energy building up to what is, without question, the most important day of the year for Christians. And here at Emmanuel, we include Good Friday in that weekend. We spend a lot of time and a lot of energy building up to a wonderful service on Good Friday and again on Easter. And then we get to Easter Sunday, and it's exciting. It's joy-filled. And then Easter Monday comes around. And things can just feel a bit flat, right? Like, oh, we had this exciting minute, and now, all right. Okay, now life continues. How do we do this? How do we do this in the joy of Easter, week in and week out? And so two things kind of came to mind for me as I was reflecting on this idea of a letdown following Easter. Number one, it is vitally important that we be reminded week after week that the reason we worship on Sunday mornings is because we are celebrating the resurrection. So for at least a few weeks here, I'm going to ask you to join me in the standard Easter call and response. He is risen.
He is risen.
Alleluia. Amen. So thank you for that gift that you are giving me in reminding me week in and week out of the resurrection. And then the second thing that came to mind as I was reflecting on this is that we need to do something with the joy that we experienced last week in the celebration of the resurrection of Easter, so that it doesn't become a standalone day, but rather a leaping off place for us as we encounter what God has for us in this season. And so with that in mind, let me pray for us, and then we'll look at what that might mean for us this morning. Heavenly Father, again today we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate your love, O Lord. We thank you for the gift of your Son, for the cross, and for his triumph over the grave. Help us, God, this morning to hear your voice, to be moved by you, that we might live and serve in the truth, in the joy, and in the confidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Last week, I ended the sermon time by looking at just a few verses that come after Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in the book of John. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. So let me read those again this morning. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
I'll admit that last week when I was reading this, even in preparation for Easter Sunday, I felt pretty convicted. Here, Jesus finds his disciples locked in a room, locked away from the world, locked away from those who wish to harm them, locked away out of fear. Jesus comes and stands among them and offers the word peace. Peace. Don't be afraid of the world out there. Don't lock yourselves in here. Peace. I am sending you. Jesus tells his disciples that he is sending them out of that locked room, sending them into the world, sending them so that others will know the truth of the resurrection, the truth of Jesus. And so reading this last week, I felt convicted because I began to wonder whether we as Emmanuel, as the church, are too often content locking ourselves in a room out of safety, huddling close just with other disciples, avoiding the world outside for the comfort of those who believe the same thing that we believe. I was convicted because Jesus asks more of us. Jesus came back to send his disciples. And so in the same way we are sent, in the confidence of the resurrection, into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share God's overwhelming, unconditional love with the whole world, and to bless the world. This passage felt especially convicting because I had already been feeling, you know, that little feeling that you kind of get in your gut, that you try to ignore, but God doesn't let you ignore. I'd already been feeling this sense of wanting to explore the idea and the difficult word evangelism together. It's not something that I feel particularly comfortable doing. It's not something I even feel particularly comfortable talking about. But generally, that's a pretty good indicator for me that that's exactly what I need to be working on. And so part of that, the challenge for me, is always wondering where to start. I understand, you know, kind of mentally that I am sent into the world as a follower of Christ to love and bless people. Mentally, I can wrap my head around that. I know it's important. I know that a key part of being a follower of Christ is being sent. But how? But how do I, Eric Hedberg, do that faithfully? Maybe you are wondering the exact same thing. Or hopefully about yourself, not just how does Eric Hedberg doing it, but maybe you're wondering both. That's okay. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not an evangelist. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know the Bible well enough. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know all the answers to the questions that people might have about God, about Jesus, about faith. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not an extrovert. Just talking to people is hard, let alone talking to people about something this important. And all of these are reasonable fears, and I don't want to just push them aside and say, get over it. They're reasonable fears and concerns, but none of them should keep us from following where Jesus sends us. And so beginning this week and over the next several weeks, I would like us to try something together. When I was at the Covenant's Midwinter Pastors Conference in January, an initiative called Bless was introduced. You'll see resources and things like that. With it were a number of resources that I'll be using and making available to you throughout this series. And I'll be putting those either on chairs each week. They'll also be available on the website in various forms as well. You've probably, because if you're as curious as I am, you have sat down and looked through and read all of this. If you're not as curious as I am, well, you can pick it up and now you can look at it. And I guess well done for waiting and being held in suspense for that long. This week, and for the next five, we'll look at each of these practices. So each of the letters there stands for a word, stands for a practice that we'll be doing.
And we'll be looking at how that can help us in being sent people so that we can bless people, so that we can share Christ's love with the world in an effective way. This morning, we're going to begin where we should always begin, with prayer. That's the B, begin with prayer. And Jesus provides us with a great example of this time and time again. This morning, we're going to read about that example in Luke 6, verses 12 to 16. Let's take a look at that. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. This is a pretty key moment in Jesus' ministry. And before Jesus calls his apostles, he prays. He went away. He took time and made space to pray to God about this momentous decision to come the next morning. Jesus could have done the easy thing and picked the best and the brightest, the top draft picks idea. This is where most of the time I would have made confidently an allusion to the Blackhawks, Kane and Taves and so on. Clearly that does not work today. Maybe Taves still works because you're Canadian, but Kane you probably disagree with. But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't take the top draft picks, if you will. Jesus, in fact, chooses a pretty ragtag group of disciples to be his closest followers, to be his apostles. He calls fishermen, tax collectors, political revolutionaries. Not exactly those who would be perhaps our first choices if we were going to put together who the apostles should be. But these were God's choices. Jesus prayed and listened for exactly who God had picked out, for exactly who God was pointing out to him, and so must we. One of the books that I'll be referencing throughout the series is called Discover Your Mission Now by Dave Ferguson. And in it, he writes about two different men. The first, Dean, works with college students at Michigan State University. Every morning, Dean prays for what he calls divine appointments, that he would meet and talk to people that day that God wants him to bless. And so then he goes about his day assuming that the people he talks with are divine appointments. So he's looking constantly in his interactions for how God is leading him to bless these people. And this has become really a missional daily practice for Dean, praying for God to bring people into his life that day that he can bless in some way or another. One particular day, an appointment was canceled, and instead of frittering away his time on Facebook or responding to emails, Dean prayed, "God, how do you want me to use this time?" He paused, and the name of a student came to mind. And he felt God urging him to explain to the student, Janice, how to enter a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So he called Janice, asked to meet for coffee, to which she agreed, and he began the conversation with, "Janice, I was praying and your name came to mind, and I felt like I was supposed to share with you how you can become a follower of Jesus." She started crying. Dean immediately recoiled and said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have just blurted that out. I'm not being very sensitive." Janice interrupted and said, "No, that's not it. I just can't believe that you are here. Last night I went to a Bible study in my dorm. They got to talking about what it means to be a Christian, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. All night I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what to do. So I prayed this morning asking God that he would bring someone to me today to tell me how to become a Christian." She smiled and said, "And here you are. I just can't believe it." And from what it sounds like, this is not an uncommon experience for Dean, to have these kinds of adventures, simply by praying and asking God for these divine appointments. The other man Dave writes about in this section on prayer is Louis. One day, Louis went to the mall, and for whatever reason, he noticed this guy sitting on a bench, and he had this strange sensation, go tell that guy God loves him. And Louis doesn't want to do that. Would you? Walk up to a complete stranger and say, hey, God loves you. So Louis does what most of us might do. He shrugs it off. But Louis comes out of a second store in another part of the mall a bit later, and the same guy is just sitting there on a different bench. And again, Louis feels that inner nudge, go over there and tell that guy God loves him. Louis blows it off again. A third time, Louis sees the same guy. So finally he says, all right. He walks over to the man and says, I don't want to seem weird or anything, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that God loves you. The guy's eyes fill up with tears, and he says, this morning I was at the end of my rope. I told God, if you're real, show me you love me today. And you're the third complete stranger in the mall today who's come up to me and said those words to me. No one's ever said it to me once before. And now it's happened 3 times in one day. I would expect that this story of Louis resonates with many of us. The hesitation, the reluctance, the fear of appearing weird. But Louis was faithful. Louis eventually listened to God and followed where Jesus was sending him that day. And here's the thing. Here's what I will freely admit scares me about this series. I don't know what's going to come of this. I would love to say this is the plan, this is what's going to happen when we all do this together. I don't know. But I hope that we have some stories like this. I hope we have stories that are half as exciting as this. Even one is huge. I wish that I could plan this for us. But clearly these two examples show us that God moves in mysterious ways, that God calls the unexpected in unexpected ways. The question for us is, are we preparing ourselves for that? This morning, I want our start to be as simple and straightforward as possible. So on those flyers on your seat or the one next to you, you have a couple of kind of bookmark-ish type things. One of them says, I am praying for on it. The other one, it says, my church is praying for. What you're going to do is write down, doesn't have to be today if you don't have a pen. You can take these home and over the week spend some time preparing these. But keep one of those with you. Write down the names of people that you're going to pray for. Don't just kind of tuck them in the back of your heads because they're real easy to float out of there. Write these down for yourself. And then write down the other ones. So even just a first name, even an initial, if you don't want it to be too, I know that in this day and age, we're very concerned about privacy issues. So even an initial is okay with me. And bring them back next week so that I can be praying for these people as well. And then pray. Pray daily for these people. There's some guides, some suggestions on the back of how you might go about praying for these people. But listen for who God is placing on your heart. That's all this step is about. It is about listening for who God is identifying for you. Asking God for those names and listening. You don't need to have the whole plan worked out before you just write the name down. This step is that simple. That's where this step ends. Listen and write down the name. Just a name. This morning, I want us to take a little bit of time to pray for those names, to listen
for those names. So I'm going to open in prayer. I'll leave some space here so that you can be praying, so that you can be asking God for those names, and then I'll close in a little bit. Lord God, we know, as followers of your Son, that we are to be sent people. Let us know, God, who it is you are sending each of us to today. Speak to our hearts, Lord, that we might hear who you want to use us to reach. Who, O Lord? Holy God, we trust that you can do more in us and through us than we can ask or expect. God, we pray that you would use each of us to bless the world, to bless the whole world, your people, your children, whom you love. Wake us each morning, Lord, with a desire to bless those who you put in our paths. We continue to listen this week, God, for the names of those that you are putting on our hearts, that you would have us bless. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.